Let's talk about something that might be keeping you up at night, cybersecurity. According to Vanta's latest State of Trust report, it's the number one concern for UK businesses. That's where Vanta comes in. Whether you're a startup, growing fast, or already established, Vanta can help you get ISO 27001 certified and more without the headaches. And Vanta allows your company to centralize security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk to help your team not only get compliant, but stay compliant. Stop stressing over cybersecurity and start focusing on growing your business. For a limited time, our audience gets $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off. Because when it comes to your business, it's not just about keeping the lights on. It's about keeping everything secure.
Hey everyone, JJ Cooper, Bill Mitchell, another of our Baseball America MLB Prospect Deep Dives. We're almost done with this. This is the 29th of 30 that we are recording. Angels still to come. But if you haven't seen, if your team's not the Angels and you're watching this, check it out. Playlist. We have all the deep dives. Or you can just search on Baseball America's YouTube channel for your team to get your team. But as we dive in here, talking about the Royals, who are coming off of a really kind of a standout season. Bobby Witt Jr. had an MVP caliber season, you know, last year. We can all, I think, agree on that much. And you have a team that went to the playoffs last year. But, Bill, you get to go to Surprise more than I do, which you know that I enjoy going to Surprise probably as much as anywhere in the Phoenix area.
And I know why. Every time I see one of the military jets flying overhead, I think, I wish JJ was here.
Primary training base for F-35 pilots. Used to be F-16s, now F-35s at Luke Air Force Base. But I digress. So as we kind of dive into this, we've already gotten to see in spring training what Jack Caglione could do, which we'd seen it before at Florida many a time. He had some of the best power in college baseball for the last several years. He's already hit a ball 115 plus for a home run in spring training this year, which basically puts him among the hardest hit balls we've seen from a Royals player in the last decade. Bill, as you kind of like, as I've been kind of saying this, like I felt like this is another one of those organizations where the number one prospect was pretty clear as you kind of dive in. Jack could have the power. The Royals, you know, is a big park. It's not a park where they've had a ton of – Salvador Perez has been great at it, but they haven't had a ton of huge power hitters. Jack Caglione has a chance to be a big-time power hitter, challenge for home run titles if it all breaks right.
He's – yes, if it comes together for him at the big league level – it's 35 to 40 home run power. You know, he went to the same high school and college as Peter Alonso. He sees him in the off season working out. And I asked him when I interviewed him recently, you know, how much help Alonso has been. And he said, yeah. And, you know, that's a good role model for him to have and something to aspire to.
The thing that does stand out is the question we will be looking at this year. Well, the first question that I would say there's, you know, like we had Jack on the Hot Sheet show earlier this offseason, and he was a little cagey on it when we asked him about the two-way playing and all that. And I would just say every indication we have is it's really hard to develop as a two-way player. And especially like you don't, with the bat like this, you really don't want to detract from his development by also having him pitch. But that's not, to me, the big to-do list, the big question with Jack. That is a question, like, will he ever pitch again? But I would say the bigger question is Jack's contact ability going to let his power play? What are you kind of see? What are you kind of hearing?
Well, first, let me put to rest. There are no intentions to develop him as a pitcher at this point. I know everyone wants to see the next Ohtani. It might be 100 years until we see the next Ohtani. Well, we won't, but, you know, he's a once-in-a-century talent. You know, we had Babe Ruth and then Shohei Ohtani. Yes. So, you know, let's just put that aside. Unless they're hiding them in a remote backfield, letting them throw a few bullpens or something, I don't think that's happening. But, yeah, let's talk about, you know, the swing and miss, the pitch selection, you know, swinging at breaking balls out of the zone. That is the big thing. Fortunately, I had interviewed him recently and also talked to Drew Saylor, their minor league hitting coordinator, who loves to talk about hitting. And the thing the one factor that I think impresses me, and I talked to Jack about this, when he was sophomore year in college going and then to his junior year in college, he significantly cut his strikeout rate and increased his walk rate. And I talked to him about that. And I, you know, that was basically something he did on his own. Just, he wanted to simplify his approach, and he, you know, worked on that on his own. Since he's been with the Royals, and especially in this off season, they've made some swing adjustments, keep his weight more in the middle of his body and not rushing to the front side of the body. That will allow him to get a longer look at pitches coming in and waiting to make his swing decisions. So, I've only seen him once. It was the first day of spring training. It was the day before he hit that monster home run. And he didn't have, you know, he had two at bats and they weren't impressive at all, but you know, very small sample. I wish I had been there when he hit that, what did you say, 116 miles per hour?
15.2, I think, or something like that.
Okay. So, you know, yeah, there's still some work to do. I think he's got the aptitude. The other thing that stands out with me, with Jack, is I've watched him on the field. He was, you know, I saw him a lot in fall league. I saw him in instructional league. He just looks like he's having fun out in the field. And, you know, players that love playing the game and love the game, they're going to have better futures, I believe. I can name players who I've seen it looked like they had sour looks in the face and they never turned out. I'm not going to throw anybody's name out here, but we can discuss it later, JJ. But, you know, Jack looks like he's having fun. And when I talked to him, I said, oh, yeah, there's a college tournament when you get here for camp. He said, oh, yeah, I already know about that. And he knew what four teams were playing. I don't know if he got into any, watch any of the games. But not only does he love playing baseball, he's a fan too. So that's what some of the things that impressed me with Jack.
So the other thing that is notable about this is that he had an exceptional college career, and he did that as a two-way player. Now, that doesn't make – he's not unique in that. There are other college players, you know, every year who are two-way players. Paul Skeens was a two-way player, people forget, until he came to LSU. But it does kind of mean, like, for the – this will be the first year of Jack's career – where he is focused just on being the best hitter he can be, because when he was at Florida, he was also focused on being part of the weekend rotation. Like, that is something where there is a to-do list here. This is not a someone who is a, oh, you know, the Angels are talking about Christian Moore. Is Christian Moore going to break camp with the club as their starting third baseman, or we'll see, or what, things like that. That's not something we're going to see with Jack. We're going to see Jack kind of show what he can do, develop in the minor leagues. But I am kind of encouraged. I am kind of excited to see what it will be for him to just focus on being a masher, being a middle of the order force who should, again, draw. I think you're always going to see strikeouts, right? It's not a question of, oh, is he going to become a, you know, an exceptional contact hitter? You're trading this. He's always going to draw walks, though, too. He is someone who he knows how to draw walks, and he is good enough at this that you will fear him. Like, pitchers know he gets ahead in the count. You're not just going to say, oh, well, I'm going to, you know, give him a, you know, I'm just going to give him a get over pitch to get back in the count. But I do think, like, that this year getting to focus on hitting could maybe unlock a little bit more, too. Again, like, they don't, the other part about this is they don't need to rush him. This is a team that is contending in the Central, but they also have Vinny Pascantino. They don't have, if now DH is, you know, this is not a problem in the long term if they still had Vinny and Jack was ready. But in the short term, I feel like that they can have some patience with him. This is not something where they need to push him to the majors on a fast track.
Well, and contrary to college, he's going to be playing six nights a week instead of college. It's 3 to 4 games a week, usually maybe five if they have a big midweek series. But he's going to be facing premium velocity. As good as the SEC is as a conference, and I've talked to different hitters coming out of the SEC, there are adjustments to make. They're not facing the premium velocity every day that you can see, that you will see in the minor leagues. So it's going to be a good development year for him.
So Jack is our clear number one on here. We've already had a little bit of bad news with our number two on this list, which is Blake Mitchell, catching prospect. He's going to miss some time with the Hammett injury. The good news about that is like Hammett injuries are one of the most common injuries for hitters because it's the little bone that's a little hook in your hand. It's easy to get hit with it, even if you don't. Like, it's also possible to just in swing and stress it, but especially if you get hit on the hand at some point. It may sap his power in the short term, but this is also not an injury that has long-term implications. But I feel like that Blake Mitchell really, like, well, two things here. One, Blake Mitchell had a very solid year last year in full season ball. A kind of, you know, not established himself. He was already one of the best prospects in the world system, but kind of showed a lot of things. But the other part of it is I want to pair this a little bit. Like, Salvador Perez has been the ageless wonder in Kansas City, and, you know, give him a ton of credit. He's kind of the remaining member of the magical teams from, you know, from 14, 15, the World Series champions and all that. And I also give him credit. Like, Freddie Fermin is a very solid backup catcher. A lot of teams would love to have that kind of situation catcher. But I do look at, if you said, where is the strength of this team organization in the minor leagues? I kind of feel like it's catching, because I feel like you have to throw Carter Jensen in this conversation as well, and not just him. Like, we could keep going down the list. Is catching kind of where the team may be deepest in the minor leagues?
Well, you look at, we have Mitchell number two in the organization, Jensen number three, and then just right outside the top 10, ready to move in as he gets the full season ball this year, we have Ramon Ramirez, who, you know, so three of your top 11 prospects right now, and this time next year we'll be saying probably three of their top 8 prospects, let's say, are catching. So obviously that's a strength, and they will find somebody that, okay, he's not going to be, none of them will probably be Salvador Perez. But do you have starting catchers coming up through the system? Yes. So, you know, Mitchell, this is a setback. And, you know, I do worry sometimes hamate injuries. Yes, they a lot of players have them. You do have hitters that still struggle a little bit after they are back. So, you know, that'll be monitored during the year. But again, you know, he's a left-handed hitting catcher with power. That's not a common commodity. He's got a double plus arm. But he's a high school catcher, or a catcher just coming out of high school. He needs the time to develop. And Jensen is still kind of in that position too. He was a high school catcher, and he's 2 years ahead of Mitchell, but there's no need to rush any of them at this point.
Of the two, Mitchell ranks number two, but I would say that Mitchell has a chance to be a more well-rounded, like, better defender to go with kind of similar offensive profiles, I would say. Although I'd say Jensen probably better hitter. Mitchell has a little bit more, like, if you were fusing them together, you'd have a lot of really good things. But Mitchell, he keeps showing improvements at it, and he draws walks. But that strikeout rate is just hovering on the edge of being a problem, I feel like, at the same time. Is that, like, how do you see it?
Well, again, and we can look at youth with that he's going to develop. He's going to learn what pitches to take, what pitches to go after. Is he 20 yet? He's probably still 19. So, you know, plenty of time. Jensen, it took a little while for him. It was a little frustrating with the rankings on him, and looking at him, he always had high on base percentages, but with low batting average, low slugging, he was too often too passive at the plate. And finally, this past year, he became the hitter that everybody was waiting for. He got more aggressive in the zone, especially hitting balls up the middle. And I have the numbers here. His slugging percentage jumped almost 100 points from 2023 to 2024, and that was going up to a higher level. So that was a really good year for Jensen. He looked good in the fall league too. You know, you could tell he was tired and it was affecting his defense, but that happens with just about every catcher coming into the fall league. They're worn out by the end of the year.
Just to add the note, Mitchell will be 20 this year. He'll turn 21 at the, you know, in August at the very end of the season. You know, also both of them left-handed hitters. So unfortunately for this, like, one of these probably has to, if they're both going to catch, one of these has to rise up and take the job, because they're probably not going to be a job share platoon type situation. Although, as you said, Jensen's a couple of years ahead. You know, it these things often have a way to work work their way out. But I do also kind of like, if I'm just looking at the top 10 in general, it's an improving system. Having Jack, you know, adding Jack to it, big help. It's still a system that doesn't have, I feel like, a lot of slam dunk, this guy's a future big league regular type who's already performed in full season ball. There's some pitchers here. As you said, there's a Ramon Ramirez type guys. There's the Yandel Ricardo, you know, like, there are guys like that to kind of keep a long-term eye on, but there hasn't been kind of that step. Like, there hasn't been that guy you say, okay, this guy's in AA, AAA. Here are these three or four guys who could project as big league regulars in the next couple of years. Is that still a fair assessment of kind of the state of the system?
Yes, I think so. We look at who is in the 11 to 30 range, and especially you talk about outfielders, you just don't have anybody that you say, oh, this guy's going to be a regular. Absolutely. So I think that's...
You want Gavin Cross to be that guy, but we don't know that. Gavin Cross is not done enough yet.
We can't forget about him. We know he had a bad year in 2023, but then we know about illnesses and injuries that he had. Is he going to be what they expected with, I think he was the 9th overall pick when they drafted him? Maybe not, but will he be a big league regular? I think that's still a possibility.
But again, it's a very pitching. I would say it's still very pitching heavy, but the unfortunate thing for the Royals is when you said when there's not really an outfielder that you could point to that Royals credit. And this is something we want to get into looking big picture here. The good news is the Royals do have, they have kind of built a lineup, a big league lineup, where it's like there's not a whole lot of immediate need on the position player side. But if you said, well, where would be somewhere that it'd be great to have someone, it would probably be in the outfield. There are a little bit more questions out there than there are in the infield. Definitely more questions than there are at catcher. We'll dive more into that right after this quick break.
Let's talk about something that might be keeping you up at night. Cybersecurity. According to Vanta's latest State of Trust report, it's the number one concern for UK businesses. That's where Vanta comes in. Whether you're a startup, growing fast, or already established, Vanta can help you get ISO 27001 certified and more without the headaches. And Vanta allows your company to centralize security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk to help your team not only get compliant, but stay compliant. Stop stressing over cybersecurity and start focusing on growing your business. For a limited time, our audience gets $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off. Because when it comes to your business, it's not just about keeping the lights on. It's about keeping everything secure.
And we're back. So the Royals last year had a great kind of run to a postseason, kind of a magical season, led by one of the best players in baseball, Bobby Witt Jr., having an incredible season. One that he could be 15% worse than he was last year and still be among the best players in the game. He was that good last year. You just hope he stays healthy and just keeps building on this, because he is one of the stars of the game. To the Royals' credit, like, the other thing, and J.J. Piccolo was rewarded with a contract extension. You can see why, because the Royals, I feel like, played free agency for a small slash, you know, lower revenue team really well last year. They managed to kind of, if you look at it, they had that pitchers, all those college pitchers they drafted years ago, the Singers and the Lynches and the Coars and all those guys. And that was supposed to be their rotation now. And they traded Brady Singer, you know, in the Jonathan India trade. Coar's gone there. You know, they're, that is not ended up being this like fixture rotation, but they stole Cole Reagans in a trade that looks like one of the better trades that we're going to see, you know, of the 2020s. They hit on Seth Lugo and Michael Wacha, and they really kind of fashioned a rotation here that, and built a bullpen also. Like they added in Lucas Hursig at the deadline last year. They've really kind of mixed and matched here to where this is a team that comes into the season being able to say again, hey, we may be able to contend. But the other part of that is like looking at it big picture is it is kind of the reminder of stars more than depth. There aren't a ton of there are a number of guys on this, you know, again, Vinny Pasquantino being back, he should be a solid homegrown regular. Salvador Perez being the ageless wonder has been huge. You know, Michael Massey gives them a solid second base. Michael Garcia, they produced regulars here. Like they have produced regulars. But the key thing is when you have a pick at the top of the draft in a special draft like the Royals did, you got to hit on it. And Bobby Witt Jr., they really hit. They absolutely nailed that one. And then they've also gotten him extended where Bobby Witt Jr. is going to be a Royal for a very long time. Like if you're just looking at this big picture as someone, again, who sees this club in spring training every year, who sees the backfields every year, you know, all through the year, what is it just like, how different is the feeling this year compared to, you know, say at this time last year, just kind of like the optimism on this club and just kind of the direction and everything and kind of that validation they got last year with that playoff run?
I think they're looking to build on that and they feel they can. They went out and picked up Jonathan India. I'm not sure where he's going to play yet. I've seen them twice. One day he started in left field. The next game I saw him, he started at third base. So it's nice to have that flexibility because they've got some holes there that they've got to figure out. And where can they plug in Jonathan India? But he gives them that leadoff hitter that can get on base. That was why they gave up Brady Singer for him.
Like you said, I think if I look at the outfield and look at the infield, I would expect to see him more in the outfield in DHing more than in the infield, just because when you've got Massey, Witt, and Garcia, if everyone's healthy, I feel better about that. Although maybe a little bit of second base for India, you know, good matchups and all that. But then I look at that outfield and I'm like, okay, Renfroe, MJ Melendez, there's corner outfield spots I just feel are a little bit more, you know, kind of Nelson Velasquez, like a little bit more of a question there about how much production you get, where, you know, again, if India can play a reasonable outfield in the corner, I think that could be really useful for this team.
Well, they picked up Joey Weimer. I'm curious to see how he's done, just because I love watching that guy play. Is he a regular corner outfielder or even, you know, is he a fourth outfielder? That'll be interesting to see.
Again, like that's the kind of thing also that to me, you want them to be taking chances like that because there, again, there are openings in the outfield. The other good thing I have to say that is that if this team comes to July and it's like, look, we still feel good about our rotation. We still feel good about our infield. We still feel great about our catchers, but we're one outfielder short. That is one of the more available, easier, lower cost of acquisitions is big league veteran outfielders on expiring deals. You know, I use the example too much, but you look at that Braves team that basically lost Ronald Acuna the first time, and they brought in an entirely new outfield at the trade deadline and made a, you know, speaking of, they brought in one Royal in that, you know, but they didn't give anything up in it. They did not give anyone up who they look back on this, who's having a significant role for anyone else. That is the kind of almost, it's not free. You are going to give up talent. You are going to pay their salaries. But I would much rather think, okay, I might come to the deadline needing a veteran outfielder, then I would say, oh, I need a shortstop. They're good there. Oh, I need a front of the rotation starter. Again, everyone could use that, but if everyone comes close to pitching like they did last year, the Royals should be solid there as well. But that kind of brings me back to it, which is we haven't really talked about the pitching. And there are some arms here that are kind of worth keeping an eye on, aren't they?
The organization has gotten very good at developing pitching. Credit to Paul Gibson, I forget the exact title, but he's in charge of pitching development. We had two guys move from much further down the list into the top 10 this year. Noah Cameron, who may break camp in their starting rotation. I've been kind of monitoring him since he came in. Pitchability lefty. I had Tommy John in college, Central Arkansas, not a power school, but it took him a little while till he got going. And the question was always that he throws strikes. He's got pitchability. Will there be enough velocity to allow all the pitches to play up? Last year, the fastball ticked up to 96. There might be some more there. I don't know what he's been throwing in spring training as far as velocity yet, but it's still early anyhow. But I could see him getting up there. Steven Zobach, who was a two-way player for a while at Cal, he took a big jump forward. When you're talking about needing to get outfielders, if you have that pitching depth in your minor league system, you can make trades. You can bring guys in.
Blake Wolters is also one to me who, getting to see him, he was kind of one of the stories of spring training last year, kind of jumped out. I would say had a solid season. They were very cautious with him. But the thing that jumps out with him is he is a guy who fits that profile of, again, the caveats that we always throw in there. If he stays healthy and if everything breaks right, he has, I would say, a little bit one of the higher ceilings of the pitchers in this system, of a guy who really could end up with multiple plus pitches if everything breaks right.
Yeah, he's got a really good slider. I think we might have the plus grade on it. Fastball was up to 99 last year. They shut him down early because they took a different approach. If you remember when they drafted Mazzucato, Cardona, and Panzini, they held them back in extended spring training. Didn't send him out right away. With Walters, maybe because he was already a cold weather kid, they felt they could send him to low A. And so he pitched as much as they wanted. They shut him down in July and brought him back to the complex. But I'm really eager to see how he looks this year. Another name to throw in here, it's in the top 10, David Shields. He was second round pick last year. He had reclassified his high school in Pittsburgh. He was a quarterback and a pitcher. His dad was a golf pro. They've just been around athletes their whole life. He didn't go out to an affiliate. He was still 17 when he signed and first showed up in Surprise. But he took a regular turn in the structural league. I think he pitched five or six times. Fastball 92 to 95. It's a good frame that will add. Obviously, he's athletic because he was a quarterback, but a good frame that can add strength. Three above average pitches right now, and the change projects it at least average. So there's somebody to dream on, too. And now that he's had those five or six games in instructional league, I see him going out to low A and being someone to follow.
We're going to get into non-top 10 prospects in a minute, but you mentioned one that probably is worth mentioning, which is that I got to see Mazzucato in spring training last year. You've seen him probably even significantly more than I have. The stuff, like you're hoping when you draft a guy, he wasn't coming out of Southern California or whatever, but you're hoping that's like, okay, as he matures, the velo is going to keep spiking up. In Mazzucato's case, it's backed up. Like, I mean, the big thing, the guy knows how to pitch to some extent. Like, he's the fact that he has survived in full season ball with what can only be described as velocity wise a well below average fastball at this point, like, is impressive. But is there a hope that there could be, like, I want to bring him up because he was a top 10 pick. Is there hope that there could be more velocity coming back, or is it something where unfortunately he's more of a kind of a high 80s guy, and that just doesn't really play in pro ball that much in the 2020s?
They've been trying to put strength on them. That's and to keep weight on them. I remember talking to people in the organization, and it just it doesn't seem to stick. And he needs that extra strength to get the velocity back up. You know, does he become a relief pitcher and really coming in short stints using the plus curveball that he's got, or maybe a 70 curveball? I don't know. He will be one, and you will have to roam the backfields again when you're out here, JJ, and see if we can catch a look at Mazzucato. I don't really have good answers for him because I don't know that anybody does.
But, well, who else are some other non-top 10 prospects that you're keeping an eye on?
Well, we talked. You mentioned that there were not a lot of outfielders in the system. But if we dig deep, there are some interesting candidates. We had a good guy in rookie league last year, rookie ball, Asbel Gonzalez. And you just see him walk in the field, and he said, that's what they look like. Tall, rangy, lanky, not a lot of strength yet, but the body can put 20 to 30 pounds on there. Good swing, so when he gets stronger, he should be able to get to the power. Plus defender already. Takes long strides in the outfield. I think he got a little taste of full season ball right at the end of the year, like, you know, just a couple games. That was all. But he'll be able to stay in center field, but he's still very far away. So it's a name to remember. But one that might be closer, and I had him on the back end of the top 30 originally, but then we added some players and he got pushed off. And I kind of wish I had put him up higher. Spencer Nivens. He was Missouri State, drafted a fifth-round pick in 2023, and his start to last season was miserable, absolutely miserable. You look at his month-by-month data, but then comes along August and September combined, he hit 15 home runs just in 1 month of August and, what, a couple weeks of OPS was over 1,000 during that stretch. I know he's in big league camp now. I saw him hitting the other day. So I don't want to go crazy over a small sample like that, but they just made some minor adjustments on him. It was tried to simplify the swing, kept his hands at the shoulder level, and maybe some confidence came in. But I don't know if I've ever seen anybody that had that big a jump. You know, go look pull him up, Spencer Nivens, look at his month-by-month figures, and then see what he did in August.
It was a little bit earlier, but I remember Mike Moustakas, speaking of Royals, like having a really rough start to his Midwest League season and then really kind of coming on. And then I remember, again, sticking with Royals, Eric Hosmer, like when he had the vision thing that he had to get worked on. And so it was like, wow, what's going on here? And then, you know, it kind of really turned back around. But it is, again, the credit to the Royals, they took a big step forward in 2024. Now the question is okay, congratulations on that. Now can you build on it? But the thing about it is this is, it also just stands out that we thought that going into last year, we thought the AL Central was kind of like, okay, well, you know, will anyone win the AL Central? And here we turn around and the Guardians, Tigers, and Royals all make the postseason. The Twins don't miss by a ton either. This is a division that's got four teams coming into this year that really can look at it and say, hey, we think we got a shot at the playoffs again, and let's see what happens when we get there. It's really only the White Sox that come into the season saying, like, again, because the White Sox could improve by 30 games and they would not even be in any
we
way
know where they're in going contention. To finish. They will be fifth in the American League Central and maybe again have, even if they win 20 more games than they did last year, they still will likely have the worst record in the American League. So it is what it is.
But the rest of it, the challenge and the interesting part of it is you have four teams that could, any one of them feels like could finish first, any of them could finish fourth. And if you finish fourth, you're not going to make it. If you finish first, you know you will, but second and third, maybe you get in. It'll be fun to watch. If you enjoyed this deep dive, we have many more of these over at the Baseball America YouTube channel. Also on our podcast feed, this is our 29th of 30 of these. We are wrapping up on what has been a fun 5-week, I guess, project. Also, there's much more over at baseballamerica.com, top 30s with scouting reports. So The top 30 prospects for all 30 organizations are up there, have been for a while. If you are a Baseball America subscriber, you've been enjoying that. But we also have all the college coverage, all the draft coverage, all the international coverage, all the fantasy coverage, baseball card coverage, so much over at baseballamerica.com. Check it out. Thank you to our subscribers for allowing us to do what we can do. And for Bill, I'm JJ. So long, everybody.
Let's talk about something that might be keeping you up at night, cybersecurity. According to Vanta's latest State of Trust report, it's the number one concern for UK businesses. That's where Vanta comes in. Whether you're a startup, growing fast, or already established, Vanta can help you get ISO 27001 certified and more without the headaches. And Vanta allows your company to centralize security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk to help your team not only get compliant, but stay compliant. Stop stressing over cybersecurity and start focusing on growing your business. For a limited time, our audience gets $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off. Because when it comes to your business, it's not just about keeping the lights on. It's about keeping everything secure. Let's talk about something that might be keeping you up at night. Cybersecurity. According to Vanta's latest State of Trust report, it's the number one concern for UK businesses. That's where Vanta comes in. Whether you're a startup, growing fast, or already established, Vanta can help you get ISO 27001 certified and more without the headaches. And Vanta allows your company to centralize security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk to help your team not only get compliant, but stay compliant. Stop stressing over cybersecurity and start focusing on growing your business. For a limited time, our audience gets $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off. Because when it comes to your business, it's not just about keeping the lights on. It's about keeping everything secure.